Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you. Glad to catch up with everybody here as we roll on through another week. Boy, it's a short week for me when it comes to the Steelers' quick turnaround after that debacle on Sunday against Arizona. Now they play the Patriots on Thursday night, where the predicted final score is going to be 1-0. It might be the first ever 1-0 NFL game in the history of pro football. Rob Owen, you can check him out each and every week. He does TV talk, he does TV Q&A, and he's with me for the Pittsburgh Pop podcast, where we give you your weekly slice of pop culture. Tim Benz with you, Read Me Daily Breakfast with Benz. And Rob, I think a lot of people would like to cancel the Steelers, cancel Mike Tomlin, cancel Kenny Pickett. We've already canceled Matt Canada. What about the cancellation of this Sammy Davis project, though, that was supposed to fill up in Pittsburgh? What happened there?
Yeah, so right now we have entered an era of austerity when it comes to media companies and their spending on original programming, particularly for streaming services. As the prices are going up, the amount of content is in some cases going down. And we'll talk a little bit about that after we get through this item. But one of the things that has found itself on the chopping block was Lee Daniels' Sammy Davis Jr. biographical limited series, which had been ordered by Hulu quite some time ago. It was supposed to film in Pittsburgh in 2024. Listeners might remember that Lee Daniels also filmed The Deliverance. I think that's, yeah, that's the correct title. A Netflix horror film that has yet to premiere, but he shot that in Pittsburgh. And so I think he likes filming in Pittsburgh, and he was bringing this project here. I think it was 8 episodes, but don't hold me to that. And now it has wound up as one of the projects that is not going forward. We've actually seen a number of these during the pandemic, shows that have been canceled. Actually, it's now the second show that was supposed to film in Pittsburgh that's been canceled, because you also had A League of Their Own,
right,
season 2, that Amazon ordered all but reluctantly. So I think they were looking for an excuse to kill that.
Well, I think we decided that was not a very good show anyway, based on what we...
I actually liked it by the end of it, but it was clear that there was no enthusiasm for it at Amazon, and they ordered it out of guilt, and when they had an excuse to cancel it, they did. So anyway, Sammy Davis Jr. biopic has gone the same route. Producers do plan to shop it, trying to find another platform for it, but I think it could happen, but I also think it's an uphill battle at the moment just because of the austerity measures that have set in at Hollywood studios.
Well, let's get to the dovetail part of this, the second part of this that you alluded to, and that's the cost of streaming services and how that plays in.
Yeah, so there's a lot of research that's come out about streaming in recent weeks, including who has the most stuff, who has the least stuff. So if you look at a movie catalog evolution that was provided by Real Good, which is a company that does research, it shows that between January of 2021 and October of 2023, the number of movies on Prime has decreased. It's increased slightly on Netflix, increased a whole lot on Peacock and Hulu, declined from its peak on Max, and Paramount especially. Like, it had a big bump in 2022, and then it's back down, not to quite where it was in 2021, but it's just not what it had been. Mm-hmm. And the TV show catalog has generally grown over that time, but movies, particularly on Paramount, have really gone the way of the dodo in some respects. Then you also can look at the average subscription duration by major premium OTT services. So Netflix, of course, I think people view that as a utility now. So Netflix, people do not cancel at as high a rate as, say, Peacock, which has the most cancellations, along with Apple TV Plus. So there's just a lot of change that we're seeing. And one of the things that's coming from this is bundling. So we've got today, Verizon Mobile announced a new bundle that includes ad-supported versions of Netflix and Max for $10 a month, which is a 40% discount on services if purchased separately. Last week, there were rumors that Apple and Paramount Plus might do a bundle. That hasn't been confirmed yet, but I think we will start to see a lot of these services bundling up, sort of in an attempt to recreate the cable bundle. Verizon also announced a new thing for its Fios TV service, which I know a lot of people in Western Pennsylvania have. It's a new piece of hardware they are calling, for lack of imagination, of course, Fios TV Plus, because everything has to have a plus sign now. But it's not a streaming service. It's a new hard piece of hardware.
You know, and what's funny about this, you know, is basically what, who started Plus? ESPN Plus has been around. Who started Plus? Because like the biggest failure was CNN Plus, right?
Yes. I think
and, like, everybody's still using the name.
I feel like Disney Plus was the first one.
Was Disney Plus the first one? Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyway, this Fios TV Plus thing, not a streaming service. It is, instead of the big honkin' set-top box, it's a small smartphone-sized set-top box. And basically, it acts as one repository for your live TV, your on-demand, and your streaming services powered by Google Play. So I assume that's Android technology. So there's just a lot of change going on in the streaming space, and that's going to continue, no doubt.
Well, I also saw one that you put out, Rob, Disney and Hulu bundled at $9.99 per month with ads. And when ESPN Plus is included, the three with ads are $14.99 per month. And if you want to get the package without ads, it's up to $24.99 per month.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, why would anybody get the third package without ads when, like, everybody gets ESPN Plus for sports, and sports is always going to have commercials.
Right. So here's the thing. The reason they are pricing that bundle so high is because they make less money on it, regardless of where they price it. They make more money on the ad-supported tiers because of the ads. So that's why they really want everybody to switch to the ad-supported tier. It's why, and Amazon, what they're doing next year is, instead of having you opt in to ad-supported, everyone will get the ad-supported version of Amazon, and you will have to opt out and pay an extra, I think it's $3 a month, for no ads. So they have all suddenly rediscovered advertising. Everything old is new again.
Right, which is why we're all going to go back to cable TV soon.
We'll see.
Or some version of it, the latest version of it. What about Masters of the Air? We were all excited about this a couple of weeks ago. Now what's going on?
So I wrote a column that published yesterday in print and then online last week about a bunch of new books. And one of them is called Pandora's Box by Peter Biskin. And it's very much about what we were just talking about streaming and how streaming disrupted everything and threw everything a tizzy in terms of profits for these Hollywood studios. And it is a really pretty juicy account behind the scenes, just showing kind of how terrible everyone is who works in Hollywood. And they specifically call out Apple TV Plus's Masters of the Air for all kinds of behind the scenes turmoil. You know, this had always been pictured as Tom Hanks' company's latest and final World War II show after Band of Brothers in the Pacific. But this book suggests that Hanks got fed up with it and just kind of threw in the towel because of behind the scenes turmoil involving the director and showrunner and just gobs of money wasted. So, I mean, I'm going to still try to go in with an open mind, but I think my expectations for Masters of the Air have been tempered a bit from reading that portion of Pandora's Box.
So what was he upset about? Was he upset about how it was being made? Was this like the business, the same sort of business issues that existed that got us to the strike in the first place? I mean, what was it?
No, it wasn't business stuff. This was all personality conflicts and people just making decisions and making choices that were incredibly frustrating. A lot of it had to do with the director, Cary, I'm going to screw up his last name, Fukunaga. He directed, I think, True Detective. That's the HBO show, right?
Yeah.
So he was involved in that and some other things. He also had some issues with getting involved, perhaps with some young women who work on sets of projects like this. I don't know that specifically happened in this case, but there was basically a power struggle behind the scenes in terms of who was the showrunner of this thing. And that was, according to Pandora's Box, what led Hanks to sort of throw up his hands.
What else is going on locally, Rob, especially when it comes to ratings? I read your ratings report, and it does get a little bit dense when you're talking about different day parts
Doesn't
and
it?
Different newscasts and That was a lot, I'm sure, for you to surf through to get all that out there. But big picture, what did we learn from the ratings this book for the local stations?
So big picture, I'd say that KDK and WTAE are in the best position currently locally. You know, when it, and this has been true for a long time, that when it comes to households, KDKA tends to be in the lead, but when it comes to the key demo, which is what they use for advertising, that often shifts between TAE and WPXI. And right now I would say WTAE is in an up cycle and PXI is in more of a down cycle. However, the other thing that jumped out at me when I looked at the demo is that KDKA, their ratings kind of crater. They were down in every day part that we look at in our chart in the key demo. So that's something that I would look for going forward. Is that continuing to fall? Because if those demo ratings continue to fall, then eventually the household ratings are going to come down with it. So that was a bit of a cause for concern, I think, for KDKA. But you know, it's interesting sometimes to pull it apart and look at the little things like how well Pittsburgh Today Live does on KDKA. And then their new show, Talk Pittsburgh, it doesn't do quite as well because it just, viewers haven't formed the habit with it, which they clearly have formed with Pittsburgh Today Live, which almost doubles the rating of its nearest competitor. So yeah, and then also some of the smaller newscasts, it's interesting to see that 6:30 show on WPGH. You know, it's never going to beat the big three, but it does do better than what's on the other sort of quasi-independent stations. They're not really independent, but sort of at the same time. So it's unsurprising that Channel 11 will add a morning newscast to WPGH come early 2024 sometime. One other thing on the local front, you know, TAE has had a couple departures recently, and they hired a new general assignment reporter, Yasmin Rodriguez, who's coming over from WJAC-TV in Johnstown, where she's currently weekend morning anchor. She's going to be working nightside 3:30 to 11:30 at Channel 4 beginning January 2nd.
There's something new about Jessica Guay, too, right?
Yes. So KDK finally announced an anchor for their 8 o'clock newscast because, yes, we need more local TV news, he said sarcastically. So Jessica is going to be anchoring with Ray Pedlin doing weather at 8 o'clock on WPKD, also known as KDK Plus Channel 19. And that starts on January 8th. It'll be a 1 hour newscast, the only newscast in the time period. So I suppose if you love local news, that's great news.
Rob, anything else, or what do you have coming up on TV Talk and TV Q&A?
Just one other thing, PCN, the Pennsylvania Cable Network, which is sort of the C-SPAN of Pennsylvania, is going to be broadcasting the 2023 PIAA Football Championships beginning December 7th at 1 p.m., and they'll have games at 1 o'clock on the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. So that is something for high school football fans to look forward to. This week in TV Q&A, what happened to KDKA's Chris Hoffman? Where has he gone? And then in TV Talk, Monk is back. The USA show is back with a new movie on Peacock this week.
Rob Owen, check him out. TV Q&A, TV Talk as well. Read me Breakfast with Benz all week. There's a lot to cram in between now and Thursday. Short turnaround for the Steelers, because after that display against the Cardinals, I know you want to see them on the field again. we'll have that coming up for you a bunch with podcasts and columns at Breakfast with Benz. Mike Tomlin's press conference is today, actually, Monday. So we'll have lots of coverage there. I'll have a podcast with Joe Rutter coming up as well. On the podcast side, make sure you download that at the Fans First Network. We're back next week. This is Pittsburgh Pop.